Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, August 6th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Oh, lots of things to talk about today. We do have Wendy Wilson joining us first for the first segment of the program, but a good day in gold today. We have it up currently on the New York spot price, up 1870 at 1308.30. We did have a high of $2 more, but she settled back a little bit at 1308. Silver's up 30 cents, back up over 20 at 2014. Platinum was up 10 at 1467. And palladium also reversed itself from a low of 838 to 853. And that is up $4. $4. So good day in gold. Yes, I know it should be a lot higher, but it is good to see it back over 1300. And I can't even imagine everything that's going on, why gold should ever break 1300 again. The USDX today is trading down slightly, 0.10 at 81.43, along with crude oil down 38.38 at $97 on the and the paper markets today struggled, but the Dow did end up 13 points at 16,443. The NASDAQ was up 2 at 43.55, and the S&P basically unchanged at 1920. 10-year yield is 2.47, down 0.01. A lot of stuff that information, we'll talk about that in the second segment of the program today. Some of the things coming out of Europe. Italy is back into a recession. Certainly the euro has been hit. It's trading about 133, where just of late it was 138. And, of course, the difference in that, we saw strength in the dollar and gold get hit. But we'll talk about that shortly thereafter, Al.
It's okay with me. I think one of the things that's interesting about gold today is we had a reverse waterfall event where the price really did shoot up $15 thereabouts in a very short period of time. Over the last couple of years, we've seen the waterfall events when gold is moving along at a price, say $1,300, and all of a sudden it dropped 10 or 15, and it does not drop the slope, there's no slope on the graph. It's just a vertical free mm-hmm. fall, and people have described it as a waterfall event over the past several years, and it's generally evidence, or it's believed to be evidence, of market manipulation. All of a sudden, forces come to bear. Suddenly, price falls dramatically, and everybody who believes in gold is aggravated and annoyed. What we've seen over the last 6 months, I haven't seen it every day, I haven't seen it every time, but we do begin to see waterfall events where the price of gold goes up dramatically in a short period of time. And the implications are, you know, if there's manipulation that's trying to push the price of gold down, there's also influence and or manipulations from some sources that may be trying to push the price up. But something happens every once in a while where the price of gold increases dramatically, not $18 over the course of the day. That may be what it winds up at the end of the day, but regardless, most of that took place in a very short period of time, and it's interesting. The other thing is this. Crude oil is down to $97 a barrel, and it was $105, $107, I don't know, back just a week or 10 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's a significant fall in crude oil, and it's interesting, and given the problems in the Middle East and whatever, it's surprising. You wouldn't think that was going to happen. I had lunch with a friend of mine who has been in the oil business once upon a time, and his son is involved in the oil business right now. And his son is involved in a new technology for whatever oil company's working for that involves fracking. And what they've discovered is they can go down and they can go to wells that they've fracked in the past, and the amount of oil coming out of them is relatively small, 100 barrels a day, something like that. They can fool around. The wells are blocked. They've figured out how to remove the blockages, and all of a sudden the well will start producing like 1,750,000 barrels per day. And it's too early to know what this means for sure. But they think the wells are recharging on their own after a period of time and building up pressure inside. And if you go back in there and you release that pressure, it'll start spitting out oil. And just the point is the possibility, not necessarily an accurate assessment, but the possibility is that the supply of oil may be growing, right? It may be that at least for a while, the idea that we've hit peak oil, maybe it's going to be relegated to the past. And it may be that the supply of oil is actually increasing. Not just a question of demand is falling, but the supply might be increasing. And it may be, who knows, if this technology that they're fooling around with, and maybe this pans out, maybe that we're going to see so much oil before we're done here that it's going to become increasingly inexpensive. The big problem is the liquefied natural gas. They're getting so much natural gas, they don't know what to do with it. And they want to be able to sell it. They can, if I understand correctly, liquefied natural gas is selling for about $3 per, I don't know if it's 1,000 cubic feet or 10,000, I don't know, but $3 per unit. Here in the United States, it's going for $10 for the same unit over in Europe. And it implies that the day is certainly approaching when people are going to push hard to be selling the excess liquefied natural gas from this country to Europe. It means ships, those huge containers. Hard to say where this is all headed and going, but the implication, there's a big difference in price between the United States and Europe right now in liquefied natural gas. According to a friend of mine, I haven't researched it myself, but I think he probably knows what he's talking about. And so we'll watch and see. It could be that a smart investment right now might be to go into liquefied natural gas more so than crude oil.
Yes. Well, our trade deficit, and we can go into this, but we've got Wendy Wilson joining us. We could talk about the trade deficit, and of course,
I forgot all about
of course,
Wendy,
and of course, the the imports of petroleum has fallen due to our ability to produce and to export. So that is a major impact on our trade deficit, falling 7% in June. So we'll talk about that in the second part of the break. Wendy, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Hello, Melody. Hi, Al. How are you doing?
Just fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're here to talk about
back.
A drug. Yeah,
back.
We're going to talk. Oh, my back is fine. Thank you for asking. That's why I missed the show a week or so ago. I do a exercise routine called Turbo Fire, and I just turned the wrong way, and I pulled a muscle, but it also tugged on a rib and got a rib out of alignment, and I had to go to my chiropractor and get it popped back in. So I'm cool. I'm all good now.
All right.
They didn't have any chiropractors back in the day. That's when Adam had the problem with his rib, and what can I tell you? No chiropractors,
yeah. The only problem with Adam's rib, it talks back.
Yes, I know. Chiropractors don't do that. What are we going to talk about today?
We're going to talk about a drug that 20 million Americans, that's 12% of the U.S. population, are taking for thyroid disease. And worldwide, there's 80 million people on this drug. And there's been an uptick in a thyroid malfunction fourfold in the U.S. since 1974. But the report is that these thyroid meds that are prescribed offer a 200% risk of developing cancer. And I was very interested in finding out how that works. Now, our thyroid's very sensitive gland, Al, Melody, and it will enlarge if you're under stress during pregnancy, when a woman menstruates. So it's a very sensitive organ, and it needs natural iodine in order to produce its hormones and its fluids in order to re-energize our system. And I came across this one doctor, Dr. Brownstein, David Brownstein, and he says that the thyroid uses natural iodine, and we get that usually from foods. And what it does is it produces a solution to regenerate the mitochondria of our cells so that when you wake in the morning, you feel refreshed. Unfortunately, a lot of our foods don't have the iodine it used to have. People aren't getting the iodine in salt because it's not required that salt manufacturers re-iodine the salt. Only a third of the salt is. A lot of folks are taken off of salt by their doctors. And also baked goods don't have the iodine, but have bromine. And the baked goods, and they use the bromine to as a dough conditioner, but it also blocks or interferes our body able to utilize iodine. So it just puts the thyroid in the back seat when that happens. But according to Brownstein, he said that taking the thyroid hormone drug people are prescribed to replace the iodine deficiency, he says, is the wrong thing to do. And he explains it this way. He says the thyroid drugs increase the body's metabolic requirement for iodine when it's already deficient. And according to him, he explains that one in seven women will develop breast cancer due to the chronic lack of iodine through these thyroid drugs. So when iodine levels are insufficient, Al, Melody, he says the breast tissue will lose its ability to maintain the proper cell structure or architecture, and the tissue can develop cysts and nodules and then cancer. So he recommends that every woman, especially every woman on thyroid meds, should get tested for their iodine level to see if it's low and then get a natural iodine supplement. So rather than the synthetic ones, that's what he recommends people do, get the natural ones. So
you
women
know,
need to review it.
I just want to say something. You know, Wendy, all the women that I talk to that have all this excess energy, every one of them is on a thyroid medication. I mean, it's like that's where they get their energy.
Well, it's basically thyroid. It's a hormone replacement type of drug. It's gonna make the thyroid gland atrophy after a while because it's
unnecessary. It doesn't need to produce
They're
artificially creating an artificial hormone into your. They're injecting an artificial source of the hormone into your body.
Right.
What you're saying is the solution is not more hormones. The solution is more iodine.
Right. He says that basically when patients, he tests all his patients that come into his office, and he says 98% of them are iodine deficient in some degree, some more chronic than others. But he said that once a patient gets some natural iodine back in the system, their thyroid perks back up. And it starts to work like it should. And he also mentions that the recommended daily allowance of iodine to prevent goiter on your thyroid is 3,000 to 6,000 mcgs. But he also notices that breast cancer in Japan has almost been non-existent, and it's because their diet over there has between 52,000 and 13,000 mcgs of iodine on a daily basis.
Yeah. Well, they eat seaweed. It becomes seaweed's a regular part of their diet, where, of course, it's not a regular part of the American diet. Some people have it, but not. So if we're looking for a natural source of iodine, what are we looking for?
A black walnut will have your highest source of natural iodine. Of course, you mentioned seaweed. It does have that. Celtic sea salt does have some natural iodine. I've known folks that are on medicines for their hypothyroidism, and they get on the salt, and all of a sudden their doctor's lowering their drug dose. So it is something that's a natural source the body will uptake and accept and use. So just depending on your situation, you may need more, you may need less. I like the black walnut because it's a liquid and you can adjust that dose real easy. So if they're looking for black walnut, we have that at the powerherbs.com website. Also want to mention, Al, Melanie, there are some foods that tend to bother the thyroid, uncooked foods, and these foods, if you eat them raw, tend to inhibit the thyroid's ability to manufacture its own hormones. So if you eat large amounts of raw cabbage or turnips or cauliflower, soybeans or peanuts, you might want to cook those foods first. Yep. So cook those foods first. Yeah, it is.
Let me ask you this. I've seen some iodine supplements, and there was one that was relatively famous. I can't remember the name. But the iodine supplement was primarily a reddish color. It had the iodine color that we're used to seeing when you apply iodine to your skin or as a disinfectant. And I've seen others where the iodine is clear. Yeah. It doesn't have any color.
Well,
is there a difference between these two varieties? Is one better than the other one?
Yeah, natural iodine will have that reddish or auburn look to it. So when you, like, for instance, if you were to use the black walnut, you want to be real careful. It will stain clothing, but it does have that brownish red auburn look to it. And it has a very metallic-y taste. So you do have the iodine and natural minerals in there, which is what you want in a whole food supplement, because there'll be other uptake minerals to help the body absorb the iodine properly. I would personally stay away from the overprocessed stuff where they've, filtered it, they put clarity agents in it, and I just think that disrupts the whole thing God made, you know?
I agree that that's likely. I don't know that that's necessarily true in this case, because I don't know. But I absolutely agree with the idea, the fundamental idea. You're better off just to do with the natural as much as possible. There may be instances where you have to resort to chemistry to save yourself, but natural is better. Give folks some contact information.
Oh, sure. They can reach us at thepowerherbs.com. We have a toll-free number. It's 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. And, of course, the website is thepowerherbs.com. And talk to you guys next week.
Thanks, Wendy. Thanks very much. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. We'll look forward to talking to you next week. Right now, Melody and I will take a brief break while you folks listen to some commercials. We'll be back in a moment on Financial Survival.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, How do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Gosh, we were so busy today, I forgot to get a special for the program today. All our prices are special. I said that yesterday, but we always do have great prices, and our shipping is the best. The best. You're not going to have to wait six weeks, 8 weeks, 6 months, 1 year to get your product. We ship very quick on cleared funds, and so give us a call at 800-375-4188, plus our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. That means a special tomorrow, Al, will have to be very, very special, very low price. I think I'll pick out some $20 gold pieces. We got some beautiful Mint State 64, $20 St. Gaudens, absolutely beautiful coins that came in. And we'll have those for sale tomorrow at a very special price. But remember, you still receive a 1 ounce silver eagle for all purchases here with Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Yes.
All right. Well,
Italy. Italy. Well, we were talking prior to Wendy about the, you know, how gold had a nice little comeback today along with silver. It was good to see silver back up to 20. And with everything that's going on in the world, certainly I don't foresee it making any other major down moves in the very near future. Italy slipped back into its third recession since 2008. And we know this. We know Europe is struggling. They just don't tell you. They don't report it. It's the same thing. Everything is great. The economy is wonderful over there. And their stock markets went up. But there wasn't anything fundamentally strong underneath those stock markets in order to justify the big increases. Not from their economies anyway. So you had Italy's economy, it contracted, and going into another recession. We know Spain, they're still having problems. Their unemployment rate is, you know, above 20%, probably closer to 25%. You have the Portugal bank that is having its problems, that was recently bailed out. Greek, you know, they're going to have, they're beginning to weaken again, and having a problem paying off their bailout to the IMF. So, you know, Europe is having problems, and the situation with Russia and Ukraine isn't going to help. I saw Russia came out today. They're looking to deduce sanctions on the European countries for various products and so forth. I don't know how much of an impact that's going to have, Al, but...
I just can't do anybody any good.
No.
You keep doing these sanctions, it's going to be one of those things, it's like two kids poking each other, all right? Two siblings, and one of them's poking the other one, they poke back and forth, and it just turns into a mess before it's all over.
Or you wonder if maybe the sanctions are not to sidetrack so they can position themselves and the conflict escalates.
Well, you know, again, it's like, where are there any adults over there? Someone should be able, if these sanctions are out of control, someone should be able to perceive that, and some adult or some group of adults ought to be able to stop it. If the sanctions are being intentionally manipulated to cause something other than just getting Russia and Ukraine to settle their dispute, if the sanctions are being used to maybe foment, escalate up until some sort of a significant war breaks out, again, are there any adults over there who can see this and say, look, let's pull in our horns and stop this nonsense? You wonder why it continues.
I saw today Japan, they released their sanctions against Russia, although they're saying they're compliant to the G7 requirements. But, you know, there for a while we were wondering if Japan was actually breaking away from the U.S., and perhaps they are, and perhaps they are following more of the G7 requirements. Because when I first saw the headline, Japan sanctions Russia, I'm thinking, well, I don't know, why?
I'd say Japan is... Yeah, don't they have enough problems of their own right now? You know, that's one of these things. This is another part of it. Okay, you know, why don't we all jump in and we'll all impose sanctions unless we already have a bunch of trouble of our own? And then maybe we should mind our own business. Japan seems to be in that category to me. And I'm going to read this and suppose that if Japan is imposing sanctions on Russia, I'm going to guess that they're doing so at the behest of the Obama administration.
I would think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It almost can't be a coincidence. It can't be a situation where Japan is saying, we don't have enough trouble with China, so let's see if we can get some antagonism going with Russia. I mean, it doesn't make good sense unless somebody's telling them what to do. It suggests that the United States is doing that.
Absolutely. And you get a trade war going on with, Germany. We know Germany has, 6,000 businesses that are working in Russia.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Eurozone is, I don't think they're going to, they're not going to do anything. I don't think they'll follow the U.S.,
Yeah, but they actually have. They weren't going to just a couple of weeks ago, right?
They start getting hurt, and you're right, winter's coming.
When winter's coming, that's when things will change.
I think they're going to worry about their own economies.
I haven't verified this, but I'm told, again, my friend Ralph, we sat down and had lunch today, and we were talking among other things. He tells me that the government of Ukraine has essentially failed, and they're scheduled to have another election in about 20 days. Do you know if that's true?
That who's having another election in 20
Ukraine?
Days?
Ukraine. What did I say? Russia? Ukraine has failed, apparently, and they are scheduled to have another election in about 20 days. Now, I haven't verified this, and I don't know that 20 days is accurate, but assuming it was accurate,
This implies that there's a good chance. Dump the existing government in Ukraine, bring in a new one that is able to negotiate with Russia, and maybe this problem in Ukraine could be made to disappear in the next, 30 days. Get a new government in 20 days, make some accommodations, work something out. Maybe we could get Ukraine off the front burner. Perhaps, 30 days from now, 45, something along those lines. I'd like to see that myself. So,
also with this situation with Russia, you have to look to the, will the sanctions accelerate the risk to the dollar? And there has been a lot of trading going on in the Hong Kong, where the dollar selling has led the central bank to buy more than $9.5 billion since July 1st to prevent its currency from rallying as the sanctions stoke speculation of an influx of Russian cash. So you see Russia shifting cash holdings into the city's dollar. And so again, is Russia...
This is a reflection of some of the governments
Correct.
Of the United States sanctions.
Correct.
Russian companies and the Russian government are being effectively forced. These are companies that used to store their foreign cash in the form of euros and dollars. They're being forced to say, can't do it anymore. So they're going into Asian currencies.
Mm-hmm.
How does that help the dollar? Anyone know? I don't. I don't see how that's helping the dollar. It's one of those things where...
You talked of the waterfall.
Yeah, and it's also... We have... We're the people in positions of power in the government. They are working to create a one-world government, a new world order. All of the nations are increasingly tied together economically and to some degree, in some instances, even politically. This unification is something the main governments want, and yet they act as if the governments and the nations are completely isolated. And we can go over and sanction Russia. We can poke them, okay? And nothing will happen to us. And the truth of the matter is it's as if Russia is halfway around the world, and if we come from the West and poke at Russia, there are going to be consequences that are going to go out the other side and catch us coming at our West Coast. We are going to pay the consequence. We are not so separate from Russia that we can afford to sanction them without anticipating that we're going to see some adverse effects ourselves. And that's probably true with most of the nations in the world, different degrees. So it's odd that on the one hand, the world's governments seem to want to move toward one world government, and on the other hand, they still want to maintain a kind of nationalist mentality where we can poke at them and cause them trouble, but nothing will happen to us. So where are we headed, Melody? Are we going deeper into globalization, or are we beginning to reject globalization and go back into nationalization? And by nationalization, I don't mean we nationalize products, but I mean we're going to be the nation, our nation versus all the other nations, not in a sense of unity. Where do you think we're headed?
Well, I think when you're at the top of the hill and you're getting pushed off, it's just natural to fight to stay on top. But I think that the overall direction is globalism. We can't shy away from globalism. I mean, we're too entwined. The U.S. depends on the world and depends on each other because you need them to stay at these levels. So until something happens to take that level away, whether it be our debt, I mean, it could be our debt. I mean, it could be anything. But what we're seeing, I think, with the situation with Russia, it makes people rethink of their holdings of the dollar and the dollar denominated world that, everybody exists in. And there was a strategist, market strategist from Bank of America, he talked about it would take 25 years.
Yeah.
And during these 25 years, the dollar would remain top of the heap, even though there's other currencies that are going to play a greater role. I don't think it's going to take 25 years. I can't even imagine.
I don't believe the dollar is going to last 25 years.
I don't either.
I'm going to be amazed if it can hold together for 5 years.
Hey, this is from Bank of America, but the point I was making with what he said is everybody's acknowledging it. Everybody is coming out and saying, hey, you know, there are other currencies that are playing a greater role. The dollar is becoming not as important as it once was. Yeah. And there, you know, there's other things that we can dump the dollar. So this is, acknowledging.
There's another point they're talking about also. They're talking about PNB, for example. A $9 billion fine was imposed on BNP Paribas, France's largest bank, by U.S. regulators in June. Now, that fine has made institutions around the world wary of the penalties for dealing in dollars. You deal in dollars, and our government thinks, you touch the almighty dollar, we get to push you around. A lot of people are looking at that and say, look, there's other alternatives. We don't need to take that risk. Let's not deal with dollars, or at least not to the extent that we have in the past. So again, we have, here's the United States trying to act as a nation. And if you mess with our dollars, we get to penalize you.
Well, that is
the result is it just isolates us rather than...
Well, I don't think they're doing it to defend the dollar and the nation. They're doing it to... defend the dollar, but not because of the nation.
Well, I get that, but what I'm trying to get, we're acting as if we can be independent. We can act independently, and we can push people around, and it isn't going to come back to bite us.
You can't be independent when you have the amount of debt that we have, and we need everybody else to buy your debt. So, in order for us to pay the bills. So, I mean, there's only so much you can do, or, you know, there's...
Well, I got something.
You can only flex your muscles.
I'm not even sure you can do that anymore. Russia's probably rethinking flexing their muscles. This has cost them. The situation in Ukraine and Crimea, Russia's paid a penalty for it. They paid a price for it. They may think that's worthwhile and they can afford it, but just the same, it's been an unpleasant experience. A lot of people are thinking, you know, maybe we better just kind of learn to mind our own business. We'll watch and see if that mentality catches on, or if the world is still subject to being bullied by the greater powers. Here's an article that just strikes me. Well, maybe I'll wait until we're going to take a break here in a minute and 10 seconds. I'll start with the article. We'll start with it, and then we'll finish it up in the second part. How to make an extra $1,000 a month. This is from credit.com, and it was reprinted at Yahoo Finance. All right? And it says, getting out of debt can be tricky for one simple reason. It's expensive. You fell into debt because you bought things you couldn't fit on your budget in the first place, and that usually doesn't get easier as time goes by, especially because the debt will likely have accrued interest as well. Other than cutting back on a variety of expenses, the simplest thing you can do is to help get out of debt is make more money. Of course, simple isn't always easy, and assuming you're already working full-time, it can be extremely tricky to supplement your income. Nevertheless, they recommend that you get creative about making money, and they list half a dozen, eight different ways that you can go out and make money, and some of them are just so bizarre, it's hard for me to believe. We'll get into this deeper when we return from our commercial break. We'll be back. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom, and we shall return in a couple of moments. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and I was reading from an article from Credit.com that was republished on Yahoo Finance. And the headline is How to Make an Extra $1,000 a Month. And the thrust of the article is that people are in debt. They're having a problem, but they could, and part of the solution to that debt problem is make more money. And they advise that you get creative, and there's things you could sell things you don't need. You could have a garage sale or advertise on Craigslist or whatever. And they also say monetize one of your hobbies, whether it's offering music lessons or selling crafty goods or whatever, or teaching a fitness class. That strikes me as a little bit. What do you think the chances are we can monetize one of our hobbies? It just doesn't strike me as being particularly credible advice for the majority of people who are debtors in this country, and that's the vast majority of people. The idea of making more money every month, that makes sense, but how do you go about it? And they have 7 ideas for increasing your income. And some of this is just blows my mind. Number 1, search the Craigslist odd jobs section. All right. Well, you can find an odd job on Craigslist and you can make an extra $1,000 a month.
You know, you laugh at that, Al, but I'll tell you what, let me finish. I was shocked when I was running advertisements in the newspaper for staff. I was shocked at how many said I saw your ad on Craigslist because the local unemployment offices posted on Craigslist.
Uh-huh.
And I was shocked. It's like, Craigslist, really? So they do go to Craigslist for jobs.
No, I'm laughing. I'm laughing about some of the other entries they have here. Craigslist, I get that. That's reasonable.
Well, I was shocked.
But the second one is sell blood plasma.
I knew somebody who did that.
I get that. But this is advice from Credit.com. Mm-hmm. You understand? This is not advice from the homeless, for God's sake. They're saying, be creative about making money. They are suggesting that you sell blood plasma. I get it. I know you can do that. In difficult circumstances, people can do that. But I read it, and this is a testimonial to how weak our economy is right now.
Yes.
When a seemingly credible advisor on how to deal with monetary issues says, well, the solution to your problem is sell your blood plasma.
And your kidney, your left kidney.
Yeah, I know. That's another one. That's not on this list, but that's another one. Number three is tutor. Whether you have a flair for math, writing, foreign language, you can tutor people. I get that. But it's not going to help most debtors. Most debtors really can't. They're not going to tutor. A handful of people can. It's an option. I get that. But here's another one. Four, dumpster dive. You understand? This is from credit.com. This is reproduced in Yahoo Finance. And they're suggesting dumpster dive. People throw out good things that you can sell or inexpensively repair and sell. If skulking around in the for treasures left on the curb or abandoned in an alley isn't your cup of tea, you can accomplish similar feats at thrift shops. Dumpster dive. Is this a sign of a recovering economy? Take surveys. Here's number five. Some are paid, there are some that pay a bit in cash, about $5 per survey, while others are points-based rewards. Search for reputable sites. Yeah, you can take surveys. How are you going to, if you're going to make $1,000 a month, and you can make $5 a survey, if you can.
Survey right? says.
Yeah, that's 200 surveys a month. You're going to have to do an average of something like six surveys a day in order to make that number of surveys pay. Walk dogs. Here's another one. Having a problem financially? You can, number six, walk dogs. Make sure you actually like dogs and are prepared to make the time commitment. Great. I'm going to get a bunch of dogs. I'm going to walk them around. I'm going to walk them around the street. And, of course, if they poop, it's only right that I have to pick up their excrement and throw it in a bag or something like that. Does this strike anyone as the kind of financial advice that you would expect in a fairly robust economy? And here's the last one. This one just blows my mind. Number seven. Participate in medical trials. This isn't a decision to take lightly, and you'll want to do plenty of homework before you start swallowing pills and taking injections in the name of science. But what they're saying is if you need to make $1,000 a month, you could participate in, you could allow people to experiment on your body. You understand? Well, I don't know if this rings everybody else's bell the way it rings mine. But
well, you know, a lot of those pharmaceutical companies go to the colleges and they enlist college students to take pill tests. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
So all of these are very real things that happen.
Oh, I know they're real.
And it is really sad to think you are absolutely correct.
This is financial advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. To make an extra $1,000 a month, participate in medical trials. Well, yeah, I know you can get $1,000 a month. I have no idea. You can probably make $1,000 a month dealing drugs.
Hey, how about
being a pickpocket, robbing banks, and the mafia and the CIA are probably looking for a few good hitmen. There's also ways, you know, in crime where you can make $1,000 a month and maybe more. But these suggestions are just sad. They are shocking to me. And they just don't. And this is reasonable. Go ahead. America, what you need are more medical trials. You can be a guinea pig for $1,000 a month. I don't know.
And all they have to do is cut back on their Starbucks.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. You know, you might be right.
$1,000 a day, $50 a week.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
Yeah, it's a couple hundred dollars.
A couple hundred dollars is a big to pay off a credit card debt.
I understand.
So there's a lot of things people, all they'd have to do is just cut back.
Well, that's the most important thing. Cut back, cut back, cut back.
Follow a budget.
Become frugal. We have a problem with unemployment in this country. And I don't know, it may be that the lines at the dumpsters are getting longer every day. Maybe that they should have dumpsters outside the unemployment offices so people have an opportunity to supplement their income while they're going to apply for unemployment.
Well, you know, when I lived in Arizona, a lot of people would go to Las Vegas thinking they could triple their money. So that one didn't make the list.
You know what fools these mortals be. That's part of what we're looking at. Here's something from Ben Stein you may recognize. Ben Stein is the man who used to do the, I think it was commercials for Red Eyes. He was very deadpan, and you might remember him. But here's a comment. He's talking about Obamacare. And he says, fathom the hypocrisy of a government that requires every citizen to prove they are insured, but not everyone must prove they are a citizen. Huh? Got to be able to prove you're insured under Obamacare, but you don't have to prove that you're a citizen. And he goes on. And he says, and now, any of those who refuse are unable to prove they are citizens will receive free insurance paid for by those who are forced to buy insurance because they are citizens. Well, it's one of those ironies, I guess, or maybe it's worse than an irony. I don't know if it's an insanity or an irony or what it is, but it's another one of those bizarre situations where the people who aren't citizens can get medical care, and the people who are citizens have to pay for medical care, not only for themselves, but for others. And it's a kind of nuttiness, a kind of madness, and how are we going to continue to do that? How can that work out? You know, there's it does not bode well.
Well, we'll see how well it works when he goes and passes all his executive orders for the amnesty here in the next, what, days or weeks. He's due to come out, and he's going to take it on his own to fix the problem. He's not going to wait for Congress to get back from mm-hmm. their five-week vacation. And
Five-week vacation. Uh-huh. That's great. I'm trying to think if I've had 5 weeks of vacation. How long has it been?
And they're the ones who came up with some legislation before they left and said, "Oh yeah, we came up this, but we know it's useless. It's not going to pass." It's so they spend all that time, money, and energy creating something that knows that will, for nothing, knowing that they're not going to have anything before they go on vacation, and Obama can get to do whatever he wants.
Well, again, you just look at this, you shake your head, you wince, you shake your head, you wonder how long this can continue, and the answer seems to be not all that much longer, but who can say? Here's another sign of the times. This is from the Inquisitor, and it says, why won't Walmart's great value ice cream sandwiches melt? That was the headline. And they're talking about ice cream sandwiches.
That's important now.
Well, it's not. It's just one of those odd little things. It's just after the news broke that Walmart's great value ice cream sandwiches don't seem to melt, the public is asking why. According to WCPO, Mother Christy Watson was stunned one morning when she found an uneaten ice cream sandwich on her patio table. Christy Shaw left a Walmart Great Value ice cream sandwich outside on a hot morning, and it appeared as though it didn't melt. It barely looked melted at all after 12 hours. Huh? And she looked at the box and said it contained ice cream, not artificial cream, so she tested it overnight, and Monday I came out and looked at it, and it was still ice cream there. So I thought to myself, what am I feeding the children? ABC News said that the ingredients list all deemed safe by the FDA, so the product's apparent lack of melting should be of no consequence. I don't know how you folks are. I like ice cream. And I can tell you, if I had a bowl of ice cream that didn't melt, I would begin to wonder whether that was really ice cream and if I should, is it safe to eat? Turns out, the sandwiches contain many additives to act to keep the sandwich firm, even in the heat. It's not that the ice cream hasn't melted. The melted ice cream simply remains firm even after it's warm. So it seems to me that we have a solution here. You know, there's people who say people in hell need ice water, and they probably want ice cream too. So maybe the Walmart Great Value ice cream sandwiches, maybe this is the solution that people in hell want ice cream. Now they can have it. Of course, the ice cream may be boiling hot, but at least it won't melt, drip, and make a mess on the floors of hell. What are we eating, Melody?
I don't know. I don't know where to go after that one, Al.
Well, I understand. Well, you've got 2.5 minutes, Melody. I've done my part.
That's a hard act to follow, Al.
All right, here's one. How to destroy your economy in one easy lesson. This is from Financial Trend Forecaster talking about Argentina. They said Argentina is following the typical recipe that governments always seem to follow as they destroy their own economies. One, promise the poor bread and circuses. In other words, provide unearned benefits, entitlements to the great unwashed in return for their votes. Two, tax the rich to pay for it. In the United States, we don't tax the rich, we tax the middle class. Three, when there aren't enough rich, borrow money and start inflating the currency to cover the shortfall. Four, add a bit of corruption and skimming as the money passes through the government's hands. Five, restrict foreign exchange to the official exchange rate to prevent evil capitalists from profiting from the country's misery. Six, institute price controls to protect the poor from disastrous effects of government policies. Seven, lie, fudge government statistics, punish journalists, do whatever is necessary to hide the truth about the actual state of the economy. And clearly the United States has embraced number seven. They are lying. They are fudging government statistics. They're endeavoring to hide the truth.
Oh, and it seems like we lost out probably at the appropriate time as we're ending the program here in just a few minutes. I just want to remind folks to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. We got some great prices on our coins. We will be back tomorrow. James Corbett will be joining us we do the interview Wednesday evening late at night, and we play that. I will be live for the first few moments to give you an update on the market. So until then, folks, have a great day. God bless.
Seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.